Rebecca, I think I want to write a book about this, The Power of 10 Seconds. Well, maybe not a book, maybe a brochure or a pamphlet.
Something you could read in 10 seconds?
Yeah, or maybe I'll just write it on a dinner napkin, something like that.
That'll work too.
Because I'm a highly motivated person. But I like the idea of this, the power of just 10 seconds, because 10 seconds makes a big difference. And I was talking about, you know, just the 10-second conversation you can have with a good friend where you can just cut through all the stuff and just get right to the point and be on and off the phone in 10 seconds. And then the 10 seconds you have to give God praise and glory and honor, and then the 10 seconds you might want to have with a neighbor to start building a relationship. Because sometimes you can give it a quick wave, but if you took 10 seconds and just said, hey, how was your day? Or you reach out to him, doesn't even have to be long, him or her, and then all of a sudden you've started to lay the foundation to have more of a relationship versus less of one. And the more you have a relationship, the easier it is and the less fear you have to talk to them about God. Now, my next guest has written an article for the Gospel Coalition, Colin Hanson, and it's about you can't love your neighbor if you fear him or her. Colin, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's
so
a delight.
How about my 10-second theory? Is it going anywhere? Or should I keep it down to the dinner napkin?
I think it has some potential. It has some real potential. And give those 10 seconds to God rather than just looking at your phone. It's a good idea.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about the neighbor you can't win because you're having fear. I think is it legitimate? Is it, you know, we're talking earlier in the hour about, you know, I fear that if I talk to my neighbor and I upset them, then they're never going to lend me the power sander again, and I need the power sander. So what do you do?
Well, I think in one sense, we often fear things that we don't know, and we often fear people that we don't know. And one of the things that we've been noticing in recent public opinion surveys is that a lot of people don't know Christians. They don't know evangelical Christians. Evangelicals are somewhere around these born-again Christians are somewhere around 25% of the population, and yet 40% of the American population says, I've never even met one before. And with the way that media work of sometimes portraying evangelicals according to certain stereotypes, and especially also the way that political polarization works, it leads to a great deal of fear and loathing from the world toward Christians.
Mm-hmm. Now, there was a poll recently about the fact that in the last 3 years, the feelings of Americans toward religions have warmed in every case with the exception of evangelical Christians. That's kind of a blow.
It is. So it was a Pew Research Institute, and essentially what they found was Jews, Catholics, mainline Protestants, Buddhists, Hindus, Mormons, atheists, even Muslims, all of them improved their standing among the American population, according to Pew Research Center, between 4 and 9, what they describe as thermometer points. That's basically describing how warmly does the American population regard these different groups. In fact, the groups that gained the most in the last 3 years were atheists, Muslims, and Hindus, especially among young people. And evangelicals were the only religious group that did not warm at all. One of the odd things, though, is that the one group that seemed to actually highly regard evangelicals were other evangelicals. So I guess we're good at loving ourselves.
Yeah, we pat each other.
But I'm not sure about the neighbors.
We pat each other on the backs well, don't we? All right, let's just say the golden rule should apply. But that's never going to happen because the essence of the golden rule is you're going to put as much energy into meeting your neighbor's needs as you are yourself. And of course, we all know that's not going to happen because let's face it, we love ourselves more than we love our neighbors. And that's part of the problem, huh?
Well, it's certainly part of the problem. Ultimately, as Christians, we're called to love our enemies. And we're ultimately called to pray for those who persecute us. So in a culture where fear and loathing is communicated through so many different means, Christians don't really have that option. Even if the world doesn't feel very warmly about us, we share our love with them. We share our warmth with them because ultimately we're loved by God, a God who has forgiven us in Christ, and therefore we can go forward in confidence and even love those people who might not love us back. That's ultimately what Jesus did on the cross. So we born-again Christians have every resource that we could possibly want to be able to be able to do that and to be able to break this cycle of recrimination, this cycle of fear and loathing, to break that cycle with actually with faith and love.
Mm-hmm. Colin, do you have kind of a boots on the ground story for us, something that's kind of, oh, that's inspiring, of where you maybe reached out to a neighbor and it was uncomfortable, but here's what happened then?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that we saw just in this last election was that, I mean, just you saw on both sides somebody saying, well, I don't know how anybody could possibly vote for Hillary Clinton, or I don't know how anybody could possibly vote for Donald Trump. And I guess what I continue to see is that I knew people who I loved a great deal, and I knew people who loved the Lord on both sides of that. And so it was impossible to be able to just say, well, I heard on the radio, or I heard on, or I saw on television, or somebody shared this internet meme with me, and it just made everything. Well, I mean, people are more complex than that. People vote for a variety of reasons. People have the different views that they have for a variety of reasons. And one of the things that just helped me to be able to get through this election season was thinking specifically of people I know, I love, and I look up to in my own family and within my own church who saw things really differently than I did. And ultimately, I want them to be able to treat me that way, that I'm not just a collection of these things that I think or these things that I share on Facebook, but that I'm a real person who is really just trying to follow God in a way that will be honoring to him. And so I think this is an opportunity Christians have in such a polarized environment to be able to love people for who they are and be able to trust God to be able to work miracles in their lives to be able to grow them in holiness and Christ-likeness.
It's very convicting because I don't like people that's not me.
I think just it's amazing when we see God transforming people. There's a woman I know. She had been in a small group that I'd been leading for a number of years, and you know, she often looked very discouraged. She's a very deep thinker, and this last week she met with us, my wife and me, and just said, you know what? I want to be baptized. Oh, the Lord worked in a powerful way, transformed my life on this date with this sermon at church. And now I saw her last week and I said, you just look so totally different. And that's just the power of the Lord working in miraculous ways in, you know, to save this woman in the name of Christ.
That's
and
awesome.
It's just so encouraging.
Okay, Colin, we're going to take a little breather. When we come back, lots more. Listen to Faith Radio Mornings. Bill Arnold here. I'll be right back. How awesome is it I get to be speaking to Colin Hanson this morning? Thank you very much. I'm having a great morning. Bill Arnold here. And Colin, we're talking about fearing our neighbor. How are we going to reach out to them if we fear them? And what about the whole idea that we need to take a risk, but we also suffer from this whole idea of self-preservation where again, I don't want to put myself in too awkward of a situation because I have to live next door to these people or across the street from them.
You know, ultimately, I think we're all going to struggle with that. We're all going to wonder about rejection. And I think one of the things that is so comforting, you see in John 16, Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's talking about how hard everything is going to be there. I mean, this is a lot more than having an awkward situation with your neighbor because of some dispute over the lawnmower or you know, leaf blower or something like that. I mean, this is some real serious stuff. He's talking about all the things that these disciples are going to suffer at the hands of the world because of their love for him, because of Jesus. And he's, of course, telling them about what's going to happen to him as he heads toward the cross. But ultimately, he tells them, take heart, for I have overcome the world. You know, what different perspective would it give us if we truly believed that Jesus has overcome the world, even when it doesn't look that way in the headlines, even when it doesn't look that way in our own neighborhoods, but to truly believe by faith that Jesus has overcome the world. I think that's the hope that he wants to give us and the confidence he wants to give us to be able to then take that step with the neighbor and to love that neighbor in tangible ways, including and especially telling that neighbor the good news about Jesus.
Mm-hmm. The good news version of that verse, Colin, which I love, says, "Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." And I think to myself, how often are Christians characterized as people of good cheer?
Yeah, that's a good question, and I think that might be some of what we're seeing in this survey of negative views toward Christians. I think we are all in danger of being assimilated into a political and a media culture that, and again, I work in media, you're working in media, we understand how some of these incentives can work. Sometimes people are more motivated by their fear and by their loathing than they are by faith and love. And so sometimes it's easier to be able to rail against those people that we don't know, rail against those people who are not like us. And they might be wrong in very serious ways, in very destructive ways. I believe that is the case today in a world that is becoming, or at least in the United States, that's becoming less overtly Christian in some ways, where there are policies being enacted that are really dangerous. But Jesus just doesn't really give us the option of saying, well, you can get out of loving them, or you can get out of sharing the gospel with them because they have the wrong views on public policy or on, you know, on public education or on healthcare or something like that. And so, again, I really believe that Christians are going to stand out. That we're going to stand out in this world where everybody else is bickering, everybody else is accusing the other of the worst. What would it be like if everybody listening dedicated their social media to making much of Jesus and making being hopeful and being of good cheer? What would it look like if we were like that? And what difference would it make scrolling through those social media feeds that are so full of fear and loathing?
Mm-hmm. Now, Colin, I know the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So let's articulate God's word. Let's let them hear truth. But also, what about the idea of trying to love your neighbor without an agenda? You know, usually I've got a formula in my head. I go, okay, see, if I shovel their sidewalk and run their dog and, you know, re-roof, you know, their house, then they're going to listen to me as I present the gospel.
Yeah, nobody likes to be a project. We don't like to be projects as Christian. Imagine if somebody decided, you know, you live next to somebody who have a different political persuasion, and the only reason they ever talked to you is because they wanted you to vote a certain way. It would not be come across as particularly loving toward you. I think ultimately we love because Christ loved us, and that comes in all manner of different way, all manner of different expressions in God's common grace. That's God loves us simply by sending us the rainfall. He loves us just by letting the sun shine. He loves us just by not letting the earth fall out of orbit. You know, loves us in all of these practical ways. And at the same time, he ultimately loved us by going to the cross. And so I think that's the model then for being able to love other people is we love them in all these tangible ways without any particular agenda, but always with the hope that they would come to see Christ in us and to hear of him explicitly from our testimony.
Mm-hmm. And just the whole idea that we need to be mindful of just being a good neighbor. I mean, if you're rebuilding a GTO on your front lawn and you've been doing that for 4 years, maybe your neighbors are sick of looking at it.
So that sounds a little, is that a real example? That sounds a little specific here.
a little too close to be true, but it's let's be mindful neighbors. Let's be considerate, you know, in Minnesota, if, you know, there are obviously rules about keeping your snow off the sidewalks and stuff like that, but it doesn't hurt every now and then to shovel your neighbor's sidewalk as you're going about the business of shoveling your own.
Well, absolutely. Imagine that let's just take your workplace right now. Some people are at work or they're on the commute to work. Imagine that you're trying to testify to Jesus, but you are lazy. You are unhelpful toward other people. You have a bad attitude toward your work. I mean, it's not really going to make people desire Jesus. It's not going to let the light shine through you. So we
you didn't have
primarily
to get personal, Colin. Gee.
Yeah. Well, we testify to Jesus first, right, in just how we do our everyday tasks, how we go about those things that God has called us to do in very practical ways in our homes and in our workplaces. And ultimately, if that is out of line with the good news of the gospel that we teach, then it's odd to be able to expect that I mean, but that's not going to line up for people. It's not going to make much of Jesus. So, you know, the best way that you, I mean, a plumber is primarily going to demonstrate God's love to his neighbor by doing a good job with the plumbing. Mm-hmm. And if some opportunity might present itself to be able to talk about spiritual things, that's wonderful. But, you know, if you're a godly, you know, if you're a wonderful leader in your church, but you're a terrible plumber, it's, you know, it's going to be very confusing to
people. Agree.
And I mean, like, a deliberately,
I get
you know, terrible plumber.
Yeah. Colin, you've been a wonderful guest. You can come on the show 5 days a week.
That's very kind of you. I appreciate that.
Have a great week, and thanks for being on the show. It's 26 minutes after the hour. We'll take a little break and be right back.